We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11 today. Going to be a two-parter next week. We'll finish this chapter 12 with the rest of it. Not going to go into the usage of our gifts so much today because that's what next week's about with the body and the body being many parts and the significance of each body part doing its thing so that the body can be whole. But I want to talk to you about spiritual gifts. I want to talk to you about, are you using them? Do you know what they are? Do you know what they're not? God has given us those things, both natural abilities and spiritual gifts as well, once we become believers. And the question is, what are we doing with those things? Because at no time as a believer, if you confess to be a believer, at no time as a believer, once you've taken that step, was your calling then to just sit in a chair and to sing songs and to hear messages. That was not where it was supposed to end at. Once you become a believer, you sit and you sing songs and you hear messages, but you plug yourself in to the body of Christ. You use your spiritual gift and you do something to make the body better because God has a role through your spiritual gift to do just that. Now, what is a spiritual gift? What isn't a spiritual gift? Because this is where it can get confusing at times. I'm going to start off with verses 1 through 3. You can turn in your Bibles, if you like, chapter 12. There's a spot on your insert, or if you want to take notes if you'd like. It says, now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be unaware. I don't want you to not understand this. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray by mute idols. Some versions say dumb idols. And I looked at that and I thought, how often have I been ignorant and followed after dumb idols? Lots. Even after giving my life to the Lord. This says when you were pagans. Well, pagans, the definition of pagans, I don't know if you know the definition of pagans, but I want to share with you just in case you don't, because we see that word a lot, and if you don't understand what it means, then it won't have the same meaning. A pagan is a follower of a polytheistic religion. What that means is simply that they have many gods, so they can have different idols. They might have money and power and prestige, and all these, those are their gods. A polytheistic religion, not, instead of a monotheistic religion, we are in Christianity, we follow the God of everything, the one and only Lord and Savior. And so that's the difference in that. The other part of that definition of pagan is it's one who has little or no religion, someone who delights in sensual pleasures and material goods. And so as we see that word and we think, you know, when you were pagans, if you're a person who delights in sensual pleasures and material goods, if those things sort of consume you, that's still you. That's still you then. That's the definition of what a pagan is. And sometimes they substitute this word, depending on the translation you're reading, to the word heathen. Now, a heathen's a little bit different. The definition of heathen is this: someone who doesn't acknowledge the God of the Bible. That's what it means to be heathen. When you hear that word, because you probably heard that word, probably wonder what it meant. Maybe you looked it up already. Heathen is someone who doesn't acknowledge the God of the Bible, or someone who is uncivilized, a irreligious person. So when it speaks of something like that, that's supposed to be like a past tense thing for you and I who are believers. You used to be, when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray by dumb idols. And yet I find myself not a pagan and not a heathen and yet still ignorant and led astray by dumb idols. It's a constant struggle for me. Is it for you, or am I the only one in the room? It's a challenge all the time to catch myself going, gosh, I'm going right back to that same stuff. I'm being influenced somehow or other. I'm being influenced and I'm being led astray by things that are just not worth my time and my energy, my talents, all that God has given me. And I catch myself doing it all the time because I start living for me. It starts becoming about self. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Anybody can say Jesus is Lord. It's going to come out in their actions. It's going to come out in their understanding of Jesus Christ. I can say Jesus is Lord, but my life is going to reflect to you whether I truly believe that or not. To be able to say Jesus is Lord and to really meet it, it's going to require the Holy Spirit's help. You can't do this on your own because it's a total surrender. Jesus is Lord, it means Jesus is Lord. in your marriage, in your parenting, at your workplace. Jesus is Lord. He doesn't stop being Lord. When you're driving down the road and someone cuts in front of you, Jesus is Lord. He's always Lord. When you get the doctor reports that it's cancer, Jesus is Lord. That requires the Holy Spirit power to be able to get you through that stuff. That's where you can truly confess and say, Jesus is Lord, and mean it. That's what Paul is getting at here. There shouldn't be a wishy-washiness, a wavering of the old pagan self, the old heathen self. There should be a solid ground that you're standing on once you confess this, Jesus is Lord. But you'll need the Holy Spirit. It's only by the Holy Spirit that you'll be able to do this. Now, looking at spiritual gifts and what they are and what they aren't, some clarification. Some people think that spiritual gifts are natural talents like cooking and singing and fishing and playing sports and things like that. And those aren't spiritual gifts. Those are natural talents. Natural talents are given to us at physical birth. Every person born physically, which is all of us, has natural talents. You have natural talents. I have natural talents. Now, here's what we need to remember. You didn't give yourself those natural talents. God did, because God breathed everybody into existence. And so our natural talents are given to us at physical birth, but they are God-given still to all people. So don't mistake that when you think, well, I'm good at this. This is my nature. No, God gave you that. God gave you that. God gave you all that stuff, okay? So natural talents are given at physical birth. They are God-given to all people. Spiritual gifts are given at spiritual birth. You don't exercise spiritual gifts if you don't know the Holy Spirit. This is not how it works. Spiritual gifts are given at spiritual birth, and they are given, they are God-given as well, and they are given to all believers. Non-believers don't have spiritual gifts, or they're not exposed or revealed or usable yet, because they get that gift at the time in which they confess Jesus Christ and the Holy and receive the Holy Spirit. They understand or they come to know or come to be able to use those spiritual gifts. So natural talents given by God to all people, spiritual gifts given by God to all believers, not to all people. So just to clear up any of that. Both of these things, though, need to be developed. Make no mistake about it. Whether it's a natural talent that God's given you or whether it's a spiritual gift that the Holy Spirit has given you, both of them need to be identified and they need to be developed. You need to identify what that spiritual gift is once you become a believer. See, a lot of people, they make the confession and they come to church every Sunday and they sing the songs and they hear the sermon and maybe even they take notes, but they've never tried to identify and work through, what's my spiritual gift? What am I supposed to be contributing to this whole body of Christ and kingdom of heaven? What's my thing in this? And that's tragic, because you have a huge part in this, an absolute huge part in this. I'm going to go over a list of things in a while. It's not an exhaustive list, but it's a list of different gifts and whatnot, as I challenge you later about prayerfully considering, am I using my gifts? Am I plugging in and doing that sort of thing? Natural talents are not spiritual gifts, okay? Both spiritual gifts, though, and natural talents need to be identified and they need to be developed. You need to identify what they are and need to work through making them all that God planned for them to be. If he gave you a natural talent to play an instrument, work on that and become better at it, because that's a natural talent from God, and you can identify that, and then you can work at it though, and develop it and make it even better for his glory. Spiritual gifts are not the fruit of the Spirit. Some people mistake it for the fruit of the Spirit. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's not a spiritual gift. The fruit of the Spirit is sort of your being. It's like who you are when you accept God and Jesus Christ becomes your Lord and Savior and the Holy Spirit comes to you. That is something that you are. Spiritual gifts are something you do. That's the best way I can explain it. Is the fruit of the Spirit is more of a be. This is be this, be love, be patient, be kind, be good. Spiritual gifts is a do. Do this, do that, because this is how you're gifted by God to make a difference in the body. Christian disciplines are not spiritual gifts. We don't get to say, well, you know, my spiritual gift is tithing. Tithing is not a spiritual gift. Tithing is a Christian discipline. Very important. Commanded by God in the Bible to do it, but it's not a spiritual gift. Nor is prayer, nor is study, nor is fasting. You see, we can all commit to those disciplines, right? You can commit this week to fasting if you want, and to prayer, and to study, and to tithe. You could do all those things this week. Those are Christian disciplines that we all should work on and be doing, but they're not spiritual gifts. Just want you to see what a spiritual gift is and what a spiritual gift is not, so there's not confusion in that as we talk about it. Some things spiritual gifts are. Spiritual gifts are God-given. They're absolutely God-given through the Holy Spirit. Every Christian has at least one, usually more than one, but at least one. You have something that could do. No Christian, no professed believer in Jesus Christ can say, I don't have a spiritual gift. You absolutely do. You have to identify that, figure out what that is, but you have it. It's to be used for others for the common good of the body of Christ. That's the purpose of your spiritual gift. It's not for you. And that's hard for us to understand because it's my gift, but it's not for me. It's my gift for the body, and it's my gift for the glory of God. Are you with me? Am I in the right room here? It's difficult sometimes. We think in our world we live in particular, we think it's mine. So it's mine to use how I want, but it's my gift given by God for the sake of the body of Christ, for the sake of bringing glory and pointing others to Him. So there's a reason for that gift, and it's not, I'm not one of them. You're not one of them. You guys are one of reasons for my gift, and I'm one of the reasons for your gift, and He's the reason for the glory of all of our gifts. To be used for the common good of the body of Christ, to be used for God's glory, not mine. Who is benefiting from my exercising of my spiritual gift? That's what you need to ask yourself to determine whether you're using it in the right way. Who is benefiting from this exercising of my spiritual gift? If it's you that's benefiting, if you're doing it for yourself, then it's not a spiritual gift. It's a selfish ambition, probably. A spiritual gift, when used properly, points everybody, points other people to Jesus Christ, points other people to the Lord, reveals His glory and His way to them, not how good or how talented you might or might not be. Verses 4 through 7, this is what it says. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. We're all gifted differently. Everybody's got at least one, but they all come from the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. This keeps us on even ground here. We don't get them from different places. You know, we're not blessed by it's all from the same. It all comes from the same Spirit, same God. God works all of them in all men. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The Holy Spirit manifests a spiritual gift, reveals to you what your spiritual gift is. It's for the common good of everybody. Now, how do we figure out what that spiritual gift is? What do we, you know, what can we do to find that or to figure that out? Because if you're at a spot today where you don't know what that is for you, you really don't know, that's okay. A few things you can do is this. Ask God to show you. God absolutely wants to show you what your spiritual gift is. He's not wanting to be a secret. He's not wanting to, you know, keep it hidden from you. Ask God, show me my spiritual gift. Here's another way. Get plugged in and start serving somewhere. Because when you get plugged in and start serving somewhere, you'll feel the tug in your heart on which way to go and where to be involved. But it's, you know, He wants to use you somewhere because that's what you're created for. So rather than sit back and do nothing and go, you know, since I can't really pinpoint exactly whether He wants me, you know, on this side of the stage or that side of the stage, or get on the stage. You know, it's like do something. And He'll help you from there. But we got to get involved. We got to start serving somewhere. Talk to a pastor or friend. Your friends know how you're wired. Your pastor, if you know them well, is going to know how you're wired. They can help you to maybe identify some ways in which you might be called or gifted to serve. So talk to somebody like that who knows you best. You can also take a gifts test or a questionnaire, a spiritual gifts class, if you will. There's a lot of them out there, a lot of these questionnaires. And I don't know that one of them is better than the other one or whatever, but there's a lot of ways in which you can, a lot of tests, a lot of questionnaires you can take, and you can identify what your spiritual gifts are. We have one coming up April 29th, Saturday, April 29th, right here. If you want to write that down, make a note of it, bless you. April 29th from 9 to 2, you can come, and it's a Saturday. You can figure out what your spiritual gifts are if you truly don't know. Now you say, well, I can't make it on Saturday. I work on Saturday. Then work with Pastor Ryan, Pastor Roger, myself. We can have the same inventory. You can do this same questionnaire thing. We can still work with you and sort out what the spiritual gifts are. It's just a tragedy for someone to confess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, to come and sing songs and to hear sermons, and yet not to roll their sleeves up and go to work for Him because they don't know what they're supposed to be doing. And they don't think they have a gift, or they don't think that they have something to offer, because they do. You do. Just as at birth, everyone has natural talents, God-given. At spiritual birth, when we give our lives to the Lord, we have spiritual gifts given to us, given by God. And so figure out what that is for you. We all have them. They aren't for you. They're for others. But sort that out and make sure you get plugged in like that. That's what we're going to talk about more next week. But briefly, I want to go into some of these things that Paul talks about here. I'm not going to go into a few of them in detail for time's sake, and because I'm going to come back to one of them in a few weeks. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. These are some spiritual gifts: faith, wisdom, knowledge. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. That's discernment, you know, because we need discernment in the world that we live in, because there's a lot of voices chiming in our ears, and we need to make sure we're listening to the right one. Discern what is of God and what is of the enemy, and what is most beneficial and what is not. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. And like I say, none of these am I going to get into in depth today. The tongues in particular, because I know this is a topic that people are concerned about and have asked me about. In 4 weeks, on the 23rd of April, I'm going to talk about this tongues thing. In chapter 14, it's talked about a lot by Paul. So I'll bring it, you know, what I believe it to be. I'll bring it through Scripture, what that is. But we'll talk about tongues and the interpretation of. I think what we have to remember when we hear this speaking in different kinds of tongues, first we have to recognize that some translations don't use the word tongues, they use the word languages. Languages. And so it's speaking in different kinds of languages, and thus also another will interpret, be able to interpret different languages. When you look at this gift first given that Paul's talking about here, it was given before him. It was given at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And if you look at that passage, and the Holy Spirit came down upon them, and there was people, non-believers from all over the place, and they were able to speak the language, they were able to speak or hear the gospel in their own language. And it says that thousands were saved. It was clear what that gift was supposed to do. It was about being a language for those coming from a different tribe, different place, to be able to hear the gospel. Not a bunch of sounds and weird stuff and craziness, but to actually hear the gospel, the truth, in their language so that they could be saved. And so that's where that is first exposed. You can look it up. Prepare yourself for 4 weeks from now. And we'll fight about it on the tongues and the interpretations. That's okay. But that's where it originated, is in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, just a reference point for you. So all of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. Thus, when people say, well, you should have this gift or you should have that gift, it's the Holy Spirit that decides this stuff. Am I reading this verse wrong? He gives them to each one. You know, I might wish that I had this, or that I could speak like this guy, or I had the gift of teaching like this person, or, you know, and you can have those feelings, but the truth is He's given it exactly what He wants you to have. Now He wants you to use it, not to wait for something better, to use what you have, to get plugged in right where you're at. I want to share with you guys just some brief things before I leave you and challenge you about getting plugged in. This is not an exhaustive list, but some of the lists that you'll see out there in some of these spiritual gifts inventories, there's things like administration. Now, you can obviously do administration in the world, and many of you do. You do office sort of things, and that's great. But administration as a spiritual gift is when you use that natural talent and then that spiritual gift that God's given you in that, and you use it for the kingdom. And so there's lots of administration stuff to do in the church. There's craftsmanship. There was craftsmanship back in the Bible where people would come together, you know, stone cutters and mason people and people cutting timber and people doing this and doing that. There was craftsmanship is a spiritual gift. And we have that in our church today. They didn't have HVAC systems back then, but now we have guys that can do plumbing and HVAC. And that's craftsmanship. You use that sort of gift. If God's gifted you in that way, you use it for the body of Christ. There's creative communication. I'm not very good at that, but some people are really, really good at creatively communicating, whether it be through video or through interpretive dance. I think Pastor Ryan's got some interpretive dance in him. But, you know, some people have that creative communication in them. That's a gift. And if you have a creative side to you of communication, we need that in the bulletins. We need that in the slides. You know, we need that in the presentation. We need that back in our kids' ministry. There's a place for that. Encouragement is a spiritual gift. How many have that ability to be an encourager? Every single one of us. You know, faith is a spiritual gift, and we all have that. Now, some people have it in extra form. This faith one's interesting because my son, you know, he's over at Elkhart, and they had a guy come in a couple weeks back. Guy was fresh off drugs and really struggling, and he sits down, and now my son's working with people like that, guys like that. And this guy says, you know, Joe's trying to tell him about Jesus and about all this stuff, about how he can do it. And the guy's like, I just don't think I have that kind of faith to do that. And Joe's words to him were, "That's okay. I have enough faith for you and me. Just hang in there." Yeah, and there's a need for you to come alongside somebody because God's given you a faith that just trusts Him in all things, that just believes Him in all things. Someone needs you to come on, use that gift for them to help be their faith, to help grow their faith, because that is a spiritual gift. Giving is a spiritual gift. Helps is a spiritual gift. I mean, there's all kinds of ways that you can help, and it's wonderful, and it helps into a lot of ministries. There's hospitality. You can be hospitable. I know everybody's not gifted in that, but you can do better at it. We can all do better at it. Intercession, that means basically pleading for someone. Intercession is a deep prayer for someone. Like, you know, I know there's people I can call and say, "Hey, will you pray for this person?" And I know that they will intercede on that person's behalf. They won't, you know, 2 seconds, "Oh, by the way, pray for, you know, Jeff's wife, Kelly, because she's being mean to him." I mean, they will literally, I mean, intercede for me and really throw her under the bus for days and weeks and ask God to really work on her. There's leadership, there's mercy, there's evangelism, there's shepherding, there's teaching, there's discernment, there's all of these things, none of which are greater than the next. Our wonderful God just sees us and gifts us and talents us differently. You were given natural talents at your physical birth. Those were God-given. And you were given spiritual gifts at your spiritual birth. And those are God-given. Are we utilizing those things? It's usually easier for us to use the natural stuff, and we use it for our own good. We play basketball. We're an ace pitcher. You know, we sing. We play an instrument, and we do it for our glory, and we do it for our attention. That was never God's intent. That gift came from God. So did the spiritual gift that God has given you. So be in prayer about that as next week we talk about the body and how we might be the body that God needs us to be in LaPorte County by doing our part, all of us, no matter what role that looks like. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for your grace and your mercy, and I thank you, Lord, that even when I was ignorant and even when I was chasing after dumb idols, that you loved me and you had a plan for me. You never gave up on me. I thank you, God, that you gave me natural talents. And I thank you, God, that when I was born spiritually into you, that you gave me spiritual gifts. Father, I don't always use my talents or my gifts for you, and I am sorry for that. I have used my talents and my gifts to manipulate. I've used my talents and my gifts to get my way. I've used my talents and my gifts to get attention. And Father, that was never how it was supposed to be. So Father, I ask your Holy Spirit to come into me today, to consume my heart and my soul and my mind, and to allow me to see that the talents and the gifts that I have are to be used for your glory and for the building up of your kingdom. Father, may your Holy Spirit be in this room today. May we see him, feel him, receive him. May he reveal to each and every one of us what our gifts are and lay in our hearts how we might get plugged in, get involved, do something with what you've called us to do. God, you've gifted and you've talented each and every one of us. Let us show our love and devotion to you through using those gifts and talents for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.